Well, with us in the Old Ground Hotel here in Ennis are Michael Kelleher. He's a GP in Lahinch and a member of the GP Committee of the Irish Medical Organisation. Margaret O'Brien is here. She's the CEO of Ennis Chamber of Commerce. And we're also joined by journalist Peter O'Connell. Peter, let's start with you. For as long as I remember, the health service has been an issue in this constituency. What would you say are the other main issues in 2024?
Clare is a very strong tourism-dependent county. As you know, Rachel, there's about 12,500 people employed either full-time or part-time various roles in the industry in Clare. And that's undoubtedly an issue at the moment, both in terms of, I suppose, accommodation for visitors to the county and definitely the VAT rate on food and beverage, which many people who run tourism businesses in the county want reduced 9%, and employers are saying that if it isn't, that, you know, it will have an impact on the number of people that they can employ. So that's definitely an issue. There's many people living in peripheral parts of the county, West Clare, North Clare, who are reliant on these kind of tourism opportunities, these kind of part-time jobs, and so that's definitely one of the factors. There's other issues as well. Housing, I mean, it's a national issue. It's also a local issue. There's many hundreds of houses across Clare that are derelict, and, you know, there are grants there to try to, I suppose, refurbish those houses. But a lot of the candidates are, you know, hearing on the doorstep that, you know, people can't build houses, for example, can't get planning permission for houses, can't buy houses either, in particularly the likes of Venice, for example. So definitely depopulation. Clare is a county of contrast in the sense that way back west, the Loophead Peninsula villages, the likes of Cross, Kilbaha, Carrigaholt, according to CSO, they're in population decline, terminal
population
decline.
And yet the population here in Ennis is booming. It's
exactly.
Now the sixth largest town in the state.
That's it. So you've such a contrast. So, of course, that brings different demands as well. And it does often lead back to the hospital. The one thing that unites everybody is the absence of a 24-hour A&E in Ennis.
Let's talk some more about that. As I said, Dr. Michael Kelleher is with us, and we'll come in a moment to the availability of GPs, which I know is also an issue in the county and in the region, and it's a particular issue for you. But overall, how would you describe healthcare in the county?
Well, Rachel, healthcare in the county, the main issue is capacity and lack of capacity. And there are many strains on the health service, but we have to acknowledge the fact that we have a rapidly ageing population. Across Ireland, we have 830,000 people who are over 65. In County Clare, the population, 17% of the population is over 65. And these are the people who have most requirement for healthcare. As they age, they become, their requirement becomes more complex, and they're most frequently in need of healthcare services. And to address that, we simply have to expand the capacity. In Ireland, nationally, we have 3,500 hospital beds, but we need 5,000. And we need a much stronger community-based service to support that hospital sector. Much more care needs to be delivered in the community, closer to the patients, dealing with complex issues much earlier.
And looking at the issue that's never far away here, this question of the lack of an emergency department in Clare and the fact that people have to go to Limerick, and we know that emergency department is constantly under strain. Do you believe that the ED in Ennis, that it will be reopened?
I think that would be will not be opened very quickly. The most immediate area would be to try and address the issues and within Limerick itself, make the services there somewhat more efficient. And there are perhaps a number of areas where that could be done. We have medical assessment units. These are rapid access units. We have one in Ennis. It works extremely well. Expanding its hours, but also expanding that concept into other disciplines of healthcare, perhaps the areas of child health, female health, psychiatric.
So really you're saying there's lots of scope there for improvement?
I think there's limited scope, but there is certainly scope for improvement.
Mm-hmm. Since the last election, I know there's been a fall in the number of GPs nationally. What's the experience been in this county?
Well, in the County Clare, we have 67 GPs per 100,000 of the population. You need 100 GPs per 100,000, so we're one-third short in that regard. Across the country, just under a quarter of the GP workforce are now in their 60s. So it's extremely important that we build out the GP service and the GP network. Community care is primary health care. It's multidisciplinary and it's team delivered. So that's nurses, public health nurses, psychiatric nurses, OTs, physios, home care services, palliative care, etc. But at the core of that is general practice. And general practice is all about linear continuing care. And a huge amount of international evidence to show the benefit of that. So that's a service that has to be built out and expanded further.
All right, let's bring in Margaret O'Brien from Ennis Chamber of Commerce. Margaret, I noticed posters around the town, not for election candidates, unusually. In fact, Ennis is almost poster-free when it comes to the election candidates, or certainly the centre of it is. But lots of posters urging people to do their Christmas shopping locally. Good. How would you describe business in the town at the moment?
So business in the town is kind of it's a bit like the cured's egg now at the moment, because we've had a really tough time in Ennis with the public realm works, which have been going on pretty much non-stop since the beginning of January on O'Connell Street and on High Street, still ongoing. So the streets will be reinstated for the Christmas period. So we'll say goodbye to the contractors on the 27th of November.
Okay. So it won't be a building site for
it
the Christmas period.
It won't be a building
site.
And it's really important to communicate that to people, because, you know, this year more than any year, even more than COVID, we really need people in Clare to shop local. We really need them to support the businesses. You know, they've been fantastic. You sort of really see two types of businesses in towns like Ennis now. I think it's replicated across the country. There are the towns that have, the businesses that have moved to the times. They've got a social platform as well as having the bricks and mortar. They've said that those of them that invested in that, it's helped them to survive in the last year. They definitely would be in a really, really much more difficult situation if that hadn't happened. Mm-hmm. So, and then you've got businesses that, you know, it's almost like paralysis. They just haven't moved on with the times. And they're finding it very difficult to make things work for them at the moment.
What impact has the rise in the cost of living had as well? I mean, do businesses
Huge.
Say to you that people are
yeah.
being squeezed?
Yeah. So it's two things. They're being squeezed as businesses because of the demands on them, and the costs have risen hugely for businesses. Small businesses are really struggling. And I would say that they're actually overwhelmed, Rachel, by what's has happened in terms of new regulations and what's coming down the track. And then added to that, their customers are squeezed. So it is a very, very tricky time at the moment. There's no doubt about it. They're all looking forward to Christmas. They're all looking forward to the end of next year when the public realm works are finished and we'll have a rebirthing of Venice. So, you know, and that's something very positive to look forward to. And I will say that, you know, even though we've seen some businesses close on the main street while the works are going on, some of that is natural, you know. People are getting older in their business. Their lease might be up for renewal and they're suddenly thinking, this is a good time. I've had enough of the drilling for the moment. I'll go. What's really positive is that those spaces are being filled. So I came out of the office yesterday morning to see a sign up that what was a smaller boutique is moving into a bigger space, and they're keeping on their smaller units.
I noticed that myself this morning.
It's great.
One other thing, Peter mentioned it at the start there. Tourism has traditionally been very important in this county. But when people visit the Cliffs or the Burren yeah. or wherever, do they stay in the county or do they stay in Galway or elsewhere?
So again, that's a bit of a minefield for us at the moment. I'm on the Tourism Advisory Forum for the county, and obviously I'm in these discussions a lot. So we have a number of issues. One is we have, according to Fault Ireland, the highest percentage of contracted beds in the country.
These are beds where Ukrainian refugees are staying.
Exactly. And we have the highest percentage growth in IPASS applicants of any county in Ireland as well in the last year.
And would you say that those two things are an issue here or not?
So I think initially You know, when the war happened, I think in fairness to the government, it was a knee jerk. It was like, we're going to bring people in. It was March. Where do you look for accommodation? You look at hotels along the West Coast, which, you know, are in the shoulder season and they've got availability.
Yeah, and are probably happy for the business as well, to be fair.
And we're happy. Some of them were. Some of them immediately went, no, this, you know, we might not be able to get out of this. We'll, you know, we'll keep our business going the way it is. So there's been a big reduction in terms of the tourists staying in our towns and villages because the accommodation's not there. And that's had a knock-on effect on the cafes and the businesses that are, even the businesses that are very close to the Cliffs of Moher. And then you've got a strategy by Tourism Ireland who are saying, you know, out in America, you know, you go to the Cliffs of Moher, stay in Dublin, Galway, or
some
Limerick.
Issues never change.
Some issues never change. And numbers-wise, Rachel, not percentage-wise, numbers-wise, Clare has the fifth highest amount, they've given the fifth highest amount of accommodation, the fifth highest number of refugees in Ireland after major cities like Dublin and Cork
and
Galway.
Well, listen, thank you both for talking to us for now and for giving us that overview of the issues here in this county. My thanks, as I said, to Dr. Michael Kelleher and to Margaret O'Brien.